I suspect that one of the most hidden idols today in American society is the idolatry for food. That food has become comfort. Listen, do you eat to live or live to eat? And there is a big difference between those two.
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. Ezekiel 8 and verse 12.
Here he says, the ancients of the house of Israel, do you see what they do in the chambers of their imagery? For they say, look what they say to themselves. Remember the message from last Sunday night about what do you say to yourself, the echoes of the heart? They say, the Lord sees us not, and the Lord has forsaken the earth. What you have to do is you have to tell yourself these two awful lies. The Lord doesn't see me. And he doesn't see me. Tonight, if he is speaking to you about the idols in your own heart, you have to say to yourself, in order to continue in this, you have to say, Lord doesn't see me. I'm just sure he doesn't see me. And number two, he's forsaken the earth. Even if he sees me, he doesn't really care. He is the God of the deist. He's like the Benjamin Franklin conception of God, where you know he's a watchmaker. He set creation in motion. He made the watch. He set it down and he walked away. And he's not really paying close attention to me tonight. And yet that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Do you see how if over and over and over again you say to yourself, as you have set up these idols in your heart and in your own idolatry, do you see that if you say to yourself, the Lord doesn't see me, and even if he sees me, he doesn't really care. The Lord doesn't see me, and even if he sees me, he doesn't really care. The Lord doesn't see me, and even if he sees me, he doesn't really care. And over and over and over and over again, you tell yourself the very same thing, and in one of these days, you really make up your mind that you really want to get serious with God, and you really want to confess your sins, and you really want to get right with God, and all of a sudden it's like this little record. That's right, we don't have records anymore. This little CD pops in, and the little CD says what? God doesn't see me, and even if he sees me, he doesn't really care. God doesn't see me, and even if he sees me, he doesn't really care. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to go back to the truth of what God actually says. Now, here's the part about the forces I was talking about. He also said unto me, turn thee again, and yet thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. I'd just like to point this out. You have the ancients of the house of Israel doing these things in secret. You have their descendants and those who are around them, because the idolatry was not confronted even in their own hearts. You see it in others' lives. You say, what in the world is this a reference to, the weeping of Tammuz? This is part of the ancient pagan religions, and there are several of them, the mother-son religions. Are you familiar with these? Isis and Osiris, and you can go and find many of them throughout pagan society. And basically the idea was this. That when you come to the shortened times of the year that we are in right now, leading up to, what is it, what's the winter equinox, December 20 or 21, right around in there, when you come to the shortest day of the year, then what they said was, somehow or other, the God of spring, the God of fertility, the God of planting, has descended into the netherworld. And his name, in this case, the one that they're pointing on here, his name was Tammuz. And so what had to happen is that the women had to be weeping for Tammuz. When you think about people weeping for Tammuz, you see, this is nuts. Listen, all you have to do is go to Graceland and see the kind of veneration that is given. And by the way, that is idolatry. I mean, that's really a projection on an empty form or force. In this case, it is Elvis. And so what you're seeing here is, in this case, a worship of the natural seasons, the natural forces of what are going on all the time. And here they were in every December, in January basically, they were weeping for Tammuz, and then the spring came, and then they said, look, it worked again. You say, hello, you know, this ought to be obvious to someone. It is obvious to us, but I would point out that it is not our own personal idolatry. I pointed out to you from this morning in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19 that the Lord said, whose God is their belly. I suspect that one of the most hidden idols today in American society is the idolatry for food. That food has become comfort. Listen, do you eat to live or live to eat? And there is a big difference between those two. Paul talked about this. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It is possible to take even food. Even something you say, well, look, that's I have to eat every day, right? But is food then becoming your God in the sense that it gives you comfort when everything else goes wrong? I was describing this to a good friend of mine, Dr. Harris. Many of you know Dr. Harris. He said it's like this. He said it's like you have this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem and then something else over here. And on top of that, you're just starved. I mean, you're just as hungry as you can be. And you think to yourself, well, there's one I can fix. I may not be able to take the rest of the world's problems on, but I can fix that one. And then you just gorge yourself into this sort of a placid way of looking at life. And life just doesn't seem as difficult. When you have eaten so much, ladies and gentlemen, that is idolatry. Gluttony is idolatry, and we have to identify it as such. We looked this morning just briefly at Colossians chapter 3. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. This was near the end of the message this morning, but let's talk about Colossians chapter 3 just for a few moments as we describe what he's talking about. Now, right after we do that, I want to go over to Judges chapter 2 because I want you to see the force of the language that is there. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, we find, because Jesus Christ, who is our life, shall appear. By the way, this is in a resurrection context. He says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, what? Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so he is referring here to the way we as Christians ought to act. Our conversation is in heaven, we learn in later on in Colossians, and because of that, we ought to be good citizens of heaven even while we're here upon the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I think, again, just like we saw in 1 John chapter 5 a few moments ago, I think that those first four verses, almost everybody in here would say, amen, I believe that, praise the Lord, that's true, that's the case, that is really what is true, and I believe that in my own heart and life, exactly why he will say in verse 5 to the very same people who believe that, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. I pointed out to you this morning that you can draw an equal sign between coveting and lusting. May I just really talk to you about this for a few moments? What you find yourself lusting after is, in essence, your own idol. It is idolatry to be lusting after it. As I told you this morning, the ancients said that when it says in 1 John, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they refer to that as the three-headed idol. So tonight, when you are looking at your lust problem, please understand that it is an idolatry problem. And the Lord speaks of it in very graphic language. In fact, let me just ask you the question this way, and then we're going to talk about it from Judges. Why is it, and we'll talk about this more when we get into this commandment, but why is it that the Lord hates sexual immorality so much? Why does he hate sex outside of marriage? Why is that so wrong? Well, it's so wrong because it's a picture of something. You can see it here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 in a sense. Covetousness, this lusting, is idolatry, and so, therefore, it is a picture of going after other gods. He's putting it all together. Just to put the exclamation point on it, go over to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Look at the graphic way that it's described here in our King James. Look at the way it's described. He says in Judges chapter 2, helpful not to be in Joshua chapter 2 when you're right trying to read from Judges chapter 2. In Judges chapter 2, look what he says in verses 17 through 19. Let's begin with verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. By the way, this is very instructive. Do you remember the cycle that is in Judges? How they honored the Lord, but then they went after other gods, and then they went into a time of bondage, and then they prayed, and the Lord delivered them. And you can basically find that cycle over and over again. I think the reason it's in Israel is because it's a picture of the life of the individual even today, that you and I go through various times. We go through various phases when we know we ought to do the right thing, and yet we find ourselves being caught up in, trapped by lust. And it is almost a form of worship, a form of idolatry. Well, this really helps us understand why the Lord hates us so much. He says in verse 17, "And yet they would not hearken unto their judges," the prophets and that the Lord had sent, the deliverers. "But they went," and notice the powerful language here, "a whoring after other gods." A whoring after other gods? Yes. And here's the point. The point is this. The Lord is showing us that sexual immorality is a picture of something. And what is it a picture of? It's a picture of going a whoring after other gods. That's what he's telling us from the scripture. That is why he is saying, ladies and gentlemen, he is showing us here the right picture of the way things ought to be. That he alone should be our God. No other gods before him. And even the projection of idolatry in sexual immorality is a picture of saying, Lord, I don't want you, the unique and perfect spirit. I'm not going to trust you to meet my needs, Lord. I'm not going to trust you. I am going to go off into a very perverse lifestyle. I'm going to live for my own lust. Well, how do we deny such things? How do we turn away from such idols? Why don't you praise the Lord for 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul talked about there, he said, "What manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God and from idols to serve the living and true God." You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest denials of idolatry is salvation itself. In salvation, in the Lord, when the Lord rescued us, he turned us to God and from idols. And yet, does that mean that Christians are no longer tempted by idolatry? No. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is where you want to go now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you need to really stop and think about the fact that this is addressed to Christians. It is addressed to individuals. Just as we saw in 1 John chapter 5, that it says, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." Just as Christians were being addressed in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, when he said, "Mortify therefore these members," and he said that covetousness is as idolatry. Later to say, "For which thing's sake the wrath of God came upon the children of disobedience." What else is he saying here? What else is a denial of this idolatry? Well, he says in verse 16, and we'll just pick up in the middle of a series of questions in verse 16. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" So there's our word. There's the idolatry. "For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them." And you remember the phrase from this morning, the golden thread? "I will be their God and they will be my people." There it is again. That golden thread that just runs through the scripture all the way to heaven. And the Lord is saying, here's the way it ought to be.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.